Welcome back to the second hour of Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station, and what an awesome station it is. I am so happy to be here. I've got news for you if you live in Portland. It's 92 degrees outside. Now, to me, that's music to my ears. Can't get hot enough. For me, after the winter that we had, there's moisture in my marrow that needs to be sucked out by the hot, dry Portland summer air. It is, to me, a beautiful thing to behold. I rode my motorcycle here, which is one of my great joys. I had shorts on, I had no jacket on, and the wind was blowing. It's beautiful here in Portland. We get about 10 minutes of this, and then we get 23 hours and 50 minutes of garbage. But we're glad to have it when we have it. So now, the first hour we were smoking. We were mad as hell. We were getting populist. But we were talking about this kind of uber-rich domination of the planet. And how frightening that can be, and how imminent it seems to be. It seems that in every democratic sector of the Western world, that the money is taking over. And we're slowly kind of getting divested of our democracy, of our social infrastructure, of our union protections, of all the things that really determine the quality of life on this planet. Now, there are lots of questions that we can ask about the totality and the quality of life on this planet. And one of the most important questions we can ask is, where is technology really taking us? My next guest is Jason Benlevy. He's the author of Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech. And the reason that I asked Jason to come back, we originally interviewed him about his excellent book, Too Much Magic. You can check it out at toomuchmagic.net. You can get it on Amazon. It's all over the place. It's doing really well in San Francisco. It's a really great book about how we just accept technology without pausing to consider the implications and the important implications, without developing an ethos along with our complete and total kind of acceptance of technology as it comes in. So, you know the way things are. You get a new car and then, you know, you start seeing it everywhere. Well, as soon as I finished my conversation with Jason on the air, this was a couple of months ago, I ran into this documentary called The Transcendent Man. The Transcendent Man. And I don't know if you've heard of this or seen this documentary, but it is a must. And it is about a man named Raymond Kurzweil. And I think I'm saying his name right. Raymond Kurzweil. And he is positing this idea that there's something called the singularity. And he has a book called The Singularity Is Near, which this movie, The Transcendent Man, is based on. And basically what he's positing is that we are going to see in the next 25 years a growth of technology that is exponential, and that even the exponent is growing exponentially. So the example that he uses is, you know, if I get from 1 to 30 normally, I get without exponents, I get there, right? I get 30 steps, but if I get to 30 going exponentially, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, he says, when I take 30 steps, I'm at a billion. He says, we're at this incredibly steep rise wherein technology is going to tear a hole in the fabric of human history. And one of the things that he's really talking about, and I want to warn you that it moves into this science fiction territory, but the reality is, as I understand it, this isn't science fiction. So this is kind of where the limit, my understanding begins to grow thin. So that's why I'm going to welcome to the show Jason Benlevy, author of Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. Good to be here again.
How did I do so far?
You're doing great. and good on the 92 degrees also.
Not, you're in Bay Area. What do you got there?
We're in the 60s and foggy.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for... I mean, maybe I should, you know. Maybe I should, but man, I'm telling you. You know, there are days when it's sunny down there and we're living in, like, cold gray hell up here.
I know. So
I took us as far as... There's a guy named Raymond Kurzweil. He's positing this exponential growth in technology that he's calling the singularity. What is a singularity, and why does he call it that?
Well, you know, they've actually taken the term singularity from... Singularity is basically something beyond the horizon, and usually we use it in talking about physics as the point when we think about the Big Bang theory. It's the point before the Big Bang, whatever that was before there was a Big Bang, that thing beyond the horizon that we can't quite see is called the singularity. And they kind of reversed the idea of singularity, that singularity now becomes a point in the future that we cannot quite envision. It's when people and machines start fusing, and it's a level of intelligence that we can't even conceive of.
Right. So he says that there's going to be a point, what's going to happen, and in a minute I'm going to play a trailer from the movie. What's going to happen is that there's going to be this explosive exponential growth of technology to the point where, as human beings with human brains, we will not be able to keep up with the accelerated rate of technological growth, and that in order to keep up with it, we're actually going to have to adapt ourselves biologically to essentially begin to merge with our technology at the physical level. Am I right?
That's correct. And then at that point, we're not quite sure whether the technology is the master or we are, because if the technology is set to be more intelligent than we are, then are we the dog or are we the master?
And Raymond Kurzweil, so you know, this guy's not a crackpot, right?
I mean, no, not at all.
Tell us about Raymond Kurzweil. I mean, this
sure.
guy's brilliant. I mean,
right.
he's not some crackpot out there. He meets with presidents and world leaders. Tell us about this guy.
Yes, well, Ray really, you know, starting as a kid inventor, really was pretty brilliant in inventing things that are really terrific for humanity. One of the most significant first inventions was a device that allowed blind people to read. That it was a very small scanner that would go over a page and read out loud to people, which really was a revolution, that people could have their own, take any book, and it didn't have to be Braille, and run a little scanner over it and have the book read to them. And which was a wonderful revolutionary tool. And then he went on to, with his interest in music, to develop keyboards and really high-level synthesizers.
Essentially, didn't he invent the first synthesizer, as we understand it?
He didn't invent the first. He invented some really, really fine ones that really, really made a real difference in the evolution of music.
And I think that, you know, he's a brilliant kid, obviously a prodigy, but I think his first invention is very telling. I think he's ultimately an optimistic person who believes that technology ultimately enhances human existence.
And I think that's correct. And many of the group that we... And it's not just Ray who's part of the singularity. There's other really brilliant scientists and inventors who came at this. And a lot of them were even somewhat countercultural, some of them very progressive politically, some of them more libertarian. But they generally would be called computationalists, the people that think that, you know, you can run this formula, you can do this exponential thing and postulate what humanity is going to be like and what technology is going to be like. And it's hard to say that they're wrong, because they've been right about a lot.
Right.
But they kind of, life is not just a computation. And that which we call humanity and the life force is not just bits. And I think they kind of lose track of that. This is where we get into that issue where technology can get ahead of sociology.
Well, and that really speaks to the heart of your book, and I want to get into that in a minute. But I want to play the trailer to this movie called The Transcendent Man. And people to understand, and I wanted Jason here to corroborate for me, that this really isn't science fiction. This is science. It's inevitable. Some people say 20 years. Some people say 200 years. But this is going to happen. Let's roll the trailer, please.
The reason I'm calling today is to express my disappointment that you have invited this highly sophisticated crackpot and given him a national forum to express his pseudo-religious predictions that have no basis in objective reality.
If you go back 500 years, not much happened in a century. Now a lot happens in 6 months. Technology feeds on itself and it gets faster and faster. It's going to continue. In about 40 years, it's going to be moving so fast. The pace of change is going to be so astonishingly quick that you won't be able to follow it unless you enhance your own intelligence by merging with the intelligent technology we created.
This guy is freaky. He says computers will have consciousness in just 25 years.
To get to the 2030s, you're not going to be able to tell a clear difference between human and machine intelligence.
The big question to life is, who are we? What are we going to become? What's the future like? And he's got one of the most incredible track records in history for his ability to predict with pretty darn good accuracy.
He's an award-winning scientist and engineer, a millionaire several times over because of his inventions.
Freakers, wow.
These inventions may end up causing the worst war that humanity's ever had.
Corporations and governments and societies will be created and destroyed on the back of the technology that this book describes.
The world is flattening. The world that is globalizing.
Inventor Ray Kurzweil thinks that one day humans may be able to live forever.
I want to live as long as I can. I don't want to die. If following Ray's regimen would took that day off, I'm very willing to do that.
I knew there was a reason I was keeping all this stuff, and he kept all this stuff. I do plan to bring back my father.
God is who he is, and our challenge should be to know him, not try to create him.
I'm afraid of you.
It's going to scare a lot of people.
The world is changing far too fast. Nothing like this has ever happened to Homo sapiens before.
These ideas are going to ultimately change the world.
We didn't stay on the ground, we didn't stay on the planet, we didn't stay with the limitations of our biology.
I think Ray is performing in the service of a prophet. That's wrong.
He has used the gift that he was given for the betterment of humankind. That's what I knew.
It will be the universe waking up.
You're listening to Mad as Hell in America on AM 620 KPOJ. That was the trailer from a movie called The Transcendent Man, which is based on the book The Singularity is Near. Our guest is Jason Ben-Levy, author of the book Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech. And we are talking about the feasibility of what is going to happen in the years to come. We're going to take this whole hour to talk about this notion of the singularity. I had not heard of it. And because it was so alien to me, I felt that it was important at least to bring a kind of an introductory experience to our listeners. So, Jason, you will stay with us.
Great.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about the singularity, what it is, the cult that is growing up around it, and the reality of it. How realistic is it that this is going to happen? You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Later in this hour, your questions for Jason Ben-Levy. Go check out his book, TooMuchMagic.net. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Shock the monkey. I thought that seemed appropriate given the subject that we're discussing. And the subject that we are discussing with author Jason Ben-Levy, author of Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech, is the issue of the singularity. Have you heard of it? I had not heard of it until about, 2 months ago. I'm sure Jason was hip to it long before I was. I was shocked. I saw a documentary called The Transcendent Man. And I was so stunned by what I saw. Jason Ben-Levy, welcome back to the show, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Jason, when I saw, as I said, you and I had a conversation about your book, Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech, and this whole idea that we had discussed about how we just kind of accept technology into our lives wholeheartedly without developing an ethos or even an awareness about what we are accepting and what we're giving up for the convenience of all that technology.
Right.
Very shortly, I'm talking like 3 days, and I read Jason's book. It's a phenomenal book. Not only is it informative, it's extremely well written. Too Much Magic. Check it out at TooMuchMagic.net. You'll be glad that you did. You'll be thinking about your own choices. But literally 2 days after, I saw this Transcendent Man, and I was slack-jawed by what I saw. Because for our listeners who are just joining us, Ray Kurzweil is this man who's written a book called The Singularity Is Near. They made a documentary called The Transcendent Man, which represents the essence of the thoughts that are in the book. And the essence of the thought is that we are rapidly approaching a period of such intense exponential growth in technology that it will exceed our human ability to stay with the pace of change. And so that in order to keep pace with our technological transformations, we are going to have to literally physically adapt our bodies by somehow assimilating some of this technology into our own physiology. Do I have it right, Jason?
You do have it right. But there are some problems when we talk about technology. When Kurzweil is talking about this logarithmic growth in technology, how the processors keep getting smaller and cheaper and all of that, there's another side of this, which is that even though the hardware has been really great at doing this because it's all very mathematical, the stuff that interacts with us, which is the software, lags considerably behind that. That is, think about Windows and how many years it took to get that even functional.
That's Microsoft's problem. I never had a lot of faith in them anyway.
But it underlies the problem that the part that we can go and make machines that are physically more capable because we have these industrial processes that allow us to do these things.
Right.
It's all very mathematical. But the stuff that becomes the connection to us, the bridge to us, is very difficult.
Well, that speaks to exactly what your book is about, right? Which is, you know, we just accept this change. We just accept the idea that technology is just good, period.
Right.
But we're seeing a lot of one of the things, and I think it's relevant to the theme because we're talking about, you know, the wealthy seem to be taking over every sector of the planet, not just our country, but just about everywhere that we go.
Right.
And so who are the people? There is a cult growing up around this notion of the singularity.
Right. And I don't think,
talk about that a
right.
little.
Right. I don't think they call themselves a cult, but it gets kind of that way. It's like they're very logical. They're scientists, they're inventors, smart people, and they've kind of started developing a little bit of a secular religion around this.
Right.
And there's kind of a rationale, which is that all of them are getting older. They're facing the mortality that we all face at some point, and they're looking for their own version of eternal life. And rather than having a theological normal or not normal, but having a theological bend, they're turning it into a science and saying, well, I can live forever if I get this technology and that technology in place, and I can upload my brain, and I'll live forever. But when we start thinking about that, how hard is it to just get your insurance company to pay for a simple procedure for you? And then if you go in and say, well, I want to upload my brain and have a whole new body, who are the people who are going to be able to pay for this?
Only the people who are really, really, really rich.
Right.
So lay this out for me. Let's just say that Ray Kurzweil's right, and that we're going to see this exponential change that by what he says, by 2045, is that right? That there will be the capacity to launch into our blood cells a chip powerful enough to download all sorts of information into our bodies that will make us, quote, enhanced humans. I mean, that's the idea. And one of the things that struck me about the film, The Transcendent Man, was that nobody refuted what he was saying was going to happen. There was nobody saying, oh, this guy's crazy, this isn't going to happen. This idea that somehow, someday, there will be enhanced human beings, that would meaning human beings that have been enhanced by technology being assimilated into their physiology.
Right.
This is what we're talking about. This is no longer the realm of science fiction. Am I right?
Well, that's partly true. You know, there's a lot of dispute about how long that curve actually is. Ray's saying that it's going to be 20 years. I don't think anybody outside of Ray believes it's going to be 20 years. And again, part of the rationale is that Ray is I think, about 60 years old, and he would like it to be there before he's 80, so he can go on. But, you know, we get into this issue of the people who are on, you know, when we talk about the digital divide as an issue in life now, think about how big this divide is, that, you know, what it would cost for someone to go on forever and that most likely it's the people who are paying, you know, Elton John $1.5 million to play at their birthday party.
You're right.
Who are going to want to reign over the world forever.
And it's also become the stuff of kind of conspiracy theories. I mean, I saw Alex Jones speak recently, you know, and he ended it by saying, you know, the singularity is coming, man, get ready, you know. It's starting to kind of take on this weird kind of life that somehow the super rich are going to, within the next 30 years, going to be able to become enhanced human beings and then somehow, and be capable of kind of computations trillions times faster than we're capable of now. And, you know, this sounds like something that, of science fiction. But what was staggering about the movie The Transcendent Man was that it seemed fairly imminent. We have 1 minute when we get back. I want to also put out Jason, I would like you to answer when we come back. But if you've got calls, if you want to join this conversation, if you know something about the singularity that we're not covering here, call us 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Jason Benlevy is my guest, and thank God he's here to help rein me in. He is author of Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech, helping us understand what kind of ethos we need to develop along with our technology. TooMuchMagic.net. We will be right back after this.
We are widening the corridors and adding more lanes. We are building a religion, a limited edition. We are now...
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. We are talking about the singularity on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk stations. If you want to join the conversation, if you've been listening and you have nothing but questions like myself, we have on the line Jason Benlevy, author of Too Much Magic. TooMuchMagic.net is the website for Jason's really remarkable book, which is about bringing awareness to and developing an ethos for the technology that we just seem to assimilate without question. The technology that we're discussing today is the singularity. Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Adam.
I want to continue our conversation. I want to play you something. I don't always get his name right. Michio Kaku, do I have that right?
Okay.
Michio Kaku did this very interesting thing on the singularity, which just like falls right into the sweet spot of everything that you're talking about. So I want to play it in a minute and get your reaction to it. But I do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. If you want to join the conversation, 503-248-0620 or 1-866-452-0620. Are you totally confused by what we're talking about here? Do you know something about the singularity that we're not talking about? Is there some salient point that we need to be discussing here? I'm bringing it because I felt when I saw it that it was something that needed to be talked about in the public sphere in exactly the way that Jason talks about. We need to be discussing these things. Jason, we're going to go to line one. Bo, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up, Bo?
Adam Klugman, welcome home.
Oh, Bo Rinaldi, what's up, man?
Just a couple of things. I know a little bit about the singularity. I want to talk with Jason about it. But,
go
Adam, you did it again, man. I stood up. I got the chill. The whole taxi cab driver in Scotland, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was heavy, man. Glad.
So after
Thank
we finish with the singularity, just three quick hits from the previous hours to the solution on our way out of here. But first of all, the singularity. Jason, So certainly I know Ray Kurzweil, Admiral Tay, come out of Silicon Valley. We're doing a lot of algorithms with software engineers working on OCR software.
Right.
Everyone knows that Adam must know this too. Ray is kind of infatuated with longevity. Nobody takes more supplements than Ray Kurzweil.
I know he takes like a giant bag full
and
every day.
The Singularity University, where hot minds around the world are coming out of the woodwork, right, to pay big money,
right,
to kind of figure out what's that going to really happen. It's not the fact that it's going to really happen. It's the fact it's a failure of technology, and how do we get technology to kind of work for us? At this particular juncture, we are all one with the universe. The singularity is a symbolic merging of that event, right? So how do you create like a minority report where all of a sudden all the gamers are playing and the game they're playing is like a game of reality where you realize all these tools are tools of enablement or else the singularity, as is predicted, could basically consume us. We don't just jack in, it consumes us. How do we direct the path, man?
Well, you know, my feeling is that we've already kind of given up a lot of our autonomy toward our machines and toward being enslaved even to our cell phones to some degree by feeling compelled to answer them. And if we start like putting implants in ourselves, imagine how much worse it will start being.
I want to interject something here. I think that's a great point. I mean, shouldn't we figure out being human first before
Absolutely.
We enhance it?
Right. Once we get to the solutions on the second part, it's a failure of technology, man. If we all had iPads that are solar powered, jacked in our Priuses, it will not amount to a whit. Out of here.
Well, you know, that's actually kind of interesting because one of the things that Dean Kamen, another person who's closely associated with this but not really buying into it, talks about that there are some things that will benefit the world a lot more than teaching a few people how to live forever. It's giving that other 50% of the population clean water. And if
right.
we start spending some of our attention on solving, you know, so many of the problems we talk about, we keep looking for technical solutions, but anytime we create any kind of technology, we create a counterbalance of a problem, and we usually can't see that problem before we create it.
So it's the unintended consequences of innovation.
Right. Whenever you hear Ray or any of these people saying, if we get really super smart, we can solve all the problems in the world. Well, we know how to solve a lot of the problems in the world right now, which are getting political systems lined up more equitably than they are.
Right.
And when we start doing that, we can start making people healthier if we stop polluting their water or giving them clean water or giving them the things they need to be healthy.
Actually, bro, it's about the food system. I came out of technology. I put all my money into organic food.
Right.
If you have organic food, you do automatically have clean water. You have local businesses that can advertise on Adam's show. We can eat. We can grow. We can friggin' grow. Seriously, we can grow our way out of this. Take a look at making organic sovereign states, like, or even sovereign areas or food sovereignty, even cities or counties like they do in some states.
Right.
If you had all organic growers that are kind of developing this leveling, we could then get more technology to actually help in the growing of organic food if we want. But mainly understand, I just want to complete this. It was on last night on CNN, Caldwell Esselstyn, it was said, it's a new meme for you guys. Are you ready for this?
Huh?
He said, heart disease is a foodborne illness.
Ooh, who said that?
This is a famous doctor of the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, who believes a plant-based lifestyle is the way out of here. We're Pythagoreans, man. We believe in Pythagoras. It's all resolvable in terms of numbers. Ray will definitely tell you about that, right?
Right.
The convergence of light, sound, color, rainbow,
right.
Everything to do with phenols and plants, et cetera. It's the man-to-plant connection. That's called Occam's razor, like you said, right?
Right.
Simplest solution.
Well, even though if we look at Ray himself, he had a heart valve malfunction. Even with his 200 supplements a day,
I know.
There was a physical condition there that still needed to be intervened.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. I want to interject because something he says in the film is called The Transcendent Man. The book is The Singularity Is Near. He talks about being terrified of death. It's interesting how what human beings do. And he's terrified of death. He says that the people who tell you that they're okay with death are lying to you, or that there's something wrong with them, and that we shouldn't want to die. And I think that there's something really core about that we develop these kind of manic flight technologies because at some fundamental Freudian level, we're just terrified of dying.
At the Mishra Kaku level, you guys believe that death is an illusion. It's all an illusion. It's all energy. You're in the quanta. That's just the way it is. It's all consciousness. Consciousness will not die.
Okay. Bo, thanks for the call. I'm getting a few more calls.
Talk to you guys later.
Right
you.
On,
Bye-bye.
Bo. Thank you
Thanks,
very much.
Bo.
You know, that whole idea that we're going to, you brought it up, and I think Bo went in a specific direction, but somehow that we're going to solve human problems with technological solutions when human problems, I'm not saying technology hasn't done good things. I guess my sense is that we need to look into our humanity to solve the problems that plague humans, and that this fallacy is that we live under as human beings is that the solution is out there. We'll fix it from out there, but never looking inward. And that's one of the things that worries me about all of this. Did I say that right?
And me too. I mean, it's you know, if we think about even the internet, we thought, oh, great, everybody in the world can communicate. But it also became the way that most of the jobs left the United States.
Yeah, no kidding. Right on.
So, you know, I mean, if you can track the relationship between the ability to go and move phone centers and manufacturing integrated with centers in the United States to the growth of the internet. So it's been great to help develop other parts of the world. It hasn't been so good for people on this side of it.
Again, you know, developing an ethos alongside our cleverness.
Right.
And that's what I love about Jason's book. We're talking to Jason Ben-Levy, Too Much Magic, TooMuchMagic.net. Jason's book is all about taking the time to have the conversation that allows us to develop an ethos before we just fling ourselves headlong into any technology.
Right.
We're talking about the singularity. We have some calls on the board here, so I'm gonna go with them.
Sure.
Let's go to line two. David in New York. Welcome to Mattis Allen America. David, what's up?
Hey there, guys. Hey, Jason. This is David Biedney from Facebook. How you doing, man?
How are you?
So I'm listening to this show, and Jason brought up like one of the most relevant points, which is software. But before we even get into that, it's no surprise that Ray Kurzweil, who's a technologist, is going to advocate technology as the answer to the issue of immortality. It's not surprising, and this is what the guy does. And his fear of death is really tied to the death of his father.
Yes.
So a big part of what he's trying to do here is basically trying to essentially achieve mortality for him and his father.
Right.
In a twisted way. But, you know, this comes down to software, which is that we have incredibly powerful computers at this point, but we're still trying to figure out how to write decent software for them, much less get software to the point where it can start to modify and enhance itself. That's a really tough engineering challenge that we really haven't tackled yet. So this idea that somehow we're going to create a piece of technology that's going to be able to integrate with the essence of our consciousness is presuming that we understand the nature of consciousness, which we don't.
Right.
Right. You know, you said something, David, I want to that doesn't really come out in the book, but does come out in the movie, the Transcendent Man. All of this seems to be driven by his irreconcilable grief over his father's unfulfilled life, right? His father's unfulfilled life and death, and feeling like, you know, he's kept every letter that his father has ever written, every costume, every piece of clothing, that somehow he's going to turn all of this into digital information and upload it into a computer so that he and his father can live in digital immortality. It wasn't coming from somebody like Ray Kurzweil, we wouldn't be talking about it on this show.
Right. And you know what, if you think about one of the touching moments in the movie is when he's crying over his father's grave.
Absolutely.
And the part that is the humanity is not the part that's replicable in the machine.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Jason. That is right. You cannot replicate. You might be able to digitally represent, but you cannot replicate the process of grief that human beings need to go through. He has dreams. He says at the beginning he has dreams where he's trapped alone in a room. This guy needs a shrink, man. Get him off my technology. It's like all of this genius, all of this vision being harnessed into this, what is a form of madness to me.
Right. And it's kind of...
Well, it's a fine line between genius and insanity. And does he, in the book, go into Ramona?
Oh,
because
Ramona. That his alter ego.
Gets a little bit spooky in there.
No, actually, it's very revealing. Again, bring in the psychotherapist, because we can learn a lot from Ray's role-playing. I mean, that's what's going on here.
Right.
Ramona was a character that he created for Ted, which was a female rock and roll singer, avatar, that he interacted with. Or it didn't interact. He actually became...
He became it. It was his front end.
Right.
Again, paging Dr. Freud.
Man, oh, man.
In front of you.
That is some spooky stuff. David, anything else here before I move on?
No, that's it. Good work, Jason. Good conversation, guys. Thanks
for the call, man. I really, really appreciate it.
All righty. Take care, guys.
Take care. We got somebody with a question. We got Adam in North Portland. Adam, welcome to Mattis Hell in America with Adam Klugman. I like your first name. What's up?
There you go, Adam. How you doing? Fascinating subject. Thanks for bringing it to us. I look forward to digging into it more and taking a look at Jason's book.
Yeah, right.
But I'm curious because it seems like it's trying to solve what have traditionally been religious problems, maybe not with a religious solution, although definitely a transcendental solution. How long before these guys incorporate as a church and go tax-free like the Scientologists?
That is a scary prospect. Had not occurred to me.
I don't think that their aim is not to go and make more money. Most of them are pretty well off and well taken care of. I think that they're just trying to reconcile the inevitability of their humanity with the fact that they've been able to calculate their way out of almost everything else in life. life.
Right. And they think their money can buy them immortality.
Right. Their money and their brains. That is that, you know, they're used to being right. It's hard to argue with a really rich, smart person that they're, but, you know, when they're facing, again, the mortality that we all face, you know, their idea is to go and calculate their way out of it.
Right on. Adam, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. Great.
Thanks a lot.
Great point. We have one more call. I'm going to wait until the next segment, Karen, so hold on. We're going to take some more calls. If you want to join this conversation, we're talking about the singularity. If you don't know about it, check it out. The movie is The Transcendent Man. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We have one more segment left with Jason Benlevy. His book is Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech. TooMuchMagic.net, all about developing an ethos alongside our cleverness and our technological advances. This is Mattis Hill in America. I am Adam Klugman, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. This is AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station, and I love choosing the songs. Our guest is Jason Benlevy, author of Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech. The website is TooMuchMagic.net, but you can't just get it there. You can get it there, but you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at bookstores. You can get it all over the internet. It is a great book. And the central challenge of the book is how do we develop an ethos before we just accept technology and its power to transform our lives? Jason turned me on to this thought, and shortly after reading his book, I bumped right into this idea called The Singularity. And the singularity is basically a term borrowed from, I guess, astronomy, in which there is an event horizon beyond which we cannot see. And there's a gentleman named Ray Kurzweil who's basically positing that we are vastly quickly approaching an exponential growth in technology that is going to exceed our ability to keep pace with it, and that in order to keep pace with it within the next 25 years, we're going to have to adapt our bodies. We're going to basically have to Borg up and assimilate some of this technology into our physiology in order to keep pace with the technological changes that are happening. Now, if this wasn't somebody like Ray Kurzweil, we would all be laughing at this and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But Ray Kurzweil is a brilliant man, a visionary, a technologist, a futurist who successfully predicted things like when the first human would be beaten by a computer. I think he predicted when the Berlin Wall would fall. This is somebody who sees things from a kind of an engineering, scientific point of view. This isn't crackpotism. So anyway, that was my long way to come back to Jason. Jason Benlevy, Too Much Magic. Welcome back to the show. We got a couple calls I want to get to. We're going to go to Karen. Hold on. Karen, line one, welcome to Mattis Hell in America.
Hi. Well, can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Great.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I heard a woman say that she read a study between rich people and poor people that showed that rich people don't have the same empathy levels that poor people have. They have less empathy, and the reason she said was because poor people need each other, they need community, and I thought that was really fascinating because I really relevant to this discussion. Although I'm not exactly sure how, but
well, you know, actually, that's interesting because I read that same thing the other day. I read that same study.
Thanks for the call, Karen. I'm getting a lot of take it offline. Go ahead. Go after it, Jason.
And it's certainly, you know, when these people who have been very successful, who are kind of computational oriented in the first place,
right,
start postulating their philosophy of the world,
right,
there are some scientists, obviously, who are empathetic, but generally it's not within the class of some of these people to think that way. Again, they think that they can kind of engineer their way out of it. But at the same time, we see Ray standing over his father's grave crying, which is not a rational thing at all. So how do we make sure that these people, when they're busy inventing things, are thinking about humanity and not just how they can succeed at whatever the venture is, whether it's for money or for the glory or just the scientific achievement. And that's just a really hardwired thing on a lot of scientific people.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and it comes up in the movie The Transcendent Man, which I recommend everybody seeing. You need to see this for yourself. But one of the issues that comes up is, well, what's going to happen to an incredibly wealthy person who can who has assimilated, essentially, who is enhanced, who can compute things at trillions times the speed of unenhanced human beings? How much compassion is he really going to have for them? How superior is he going to feel, particularly if he starts out this with kind of lacking this fundamental empathy for others based on his privilege and the insular nature of his of his wealth
and you know,
or her wealth?
Right, and there's something interesting on that, too, because part of the way we got to the mortgage crisis was a computational thing,
yeah, right,
which was that they hired all these really smart mathematicians who would figure out what the default rate would be and how many mortgages they could turn and how to trade things. And it was all very computational.
Yeah, Excel, very Excel-driven kind of thing,
right,
if you look at it.
And even bigger,
software,
more powerful tools than that. And yet what they left out is that there's the human factor, and that the default rate is not going to be 2% once you start loaning people to people who have a different profile. And then the default rate went up to 20%. But no one bothered computing the human factor in it.
And you can't. You can't compute the human factor unless we're willing to stop as human beings and have the conversation that says, how do we fit into this?
Right. And a lot of that is the people doing this just don't have that humanity and that empathy to start with to be able to do that.
Ah, hence what we might call good government. That's where I believe good government steps in and says, okay, hold on, before you release that drug, before you develop that technology, let's focus group it a little bit, let's test it, let's talk about it, let's develop an ethos along with our cleverness and our technological advances. Our guest has been Jason Ben-Levy. Jason, thank you so much
for being
on the show. He has written a terrific book called Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech. If you want to know where you are at with technology, this is the book to get. TooMuchMagic.net is the site. Jason, thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam.
When we come back, we are going to check in with Al Nowakowski, our roving reporter in the Windy City, who met up with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley on the poverty tour. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us for the third hour. We'll be right back.